Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everyone. Glad to have you guys with us. I am in remote status. That's right. I'm coming to you guys from North Dakota, Devil's Lake, North Dakota, and going to have a lot of fun talking about various things that are going on up here. Don and Ava, you're here too. Good to hear from you.
We're here.
Yep, you're there. I'm here, and we are going to have a lot of fun talking about the outdoors as we always do. So stay tuned. More Valley Outdoors coming right up.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Avid outdoorsmen know that heading to the field without all the advantages, not a good idea. Most importantly, a stable shooting platform. Having the right platform can be critical to success. Field Optics Research is the industry leader, offering the most advanced, lightest, and stable tripods on the market. It's stability you need when that once-in-a-lifetime shot is in your crosshairs. Field Optics, the ultimate tripod for hunting, shooting, long-range precision shooting, spotting scopes, and outdoor photography.
Links to Field Research Optics available on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Well, hey, you guys. I don't see you in person, but hey.
How's the weather up yonder there in the North Country?
Fantastic. It's been warm consistently. We've had a good breeze the last couple days. I would say in North Dakota, when they say there's a breeze, it's about 20 plus miles an hour.
Oh, that's a breeze up there.
Yeah, that's a breeze. And yesterday we had late in the day, we had some storms roll through, but we got our fish and just had a blast. It's been nothing less than fantastic. I mean, having been up here for so many years with the tour, both in the FLW and the National Walleye Tour, it kind of is like coming back to old home week.
Sure. Let me ask, were the fish just where you thought they would be?
Actually, they kind of were. Oh. I wanted to play with some different spots, but, the crazy part about Devil's Lake, obviously it's a flooded reservoir, and we're going to be talking a little bit with Kyle Blanchfield from Woodland Resort a little bit later in the show, but, it's all everything's flooded. So we're actually fishing one of the spots. It's called the Golden Highway, and it's actually a road that when the lake flooded, you're in about 16 feet of water over the top of the road. So you can fish either on top of the road, it's blacktop, or you can fish the ditches. Wherever those fish, are relating to based on the weather, you fish in that particular area.
Sure.
And, we've been fishing with Max Twin Blades, some bouncers, bull crawlers, and leeches. We actually switched. We went to the leeches. We switched to a bead and a plain hook when it got a little finicky. And then today was out just crazy. We had you can fish with two rods, and I had three doubles with just myself, with two fish at the same time, and one in my right hand, one rod in the left hand.
Two rods. How do you reel?
You put one on the butt seat, you tuck one underneath your butt and sit on it, and then you reel the other one in, and that's the way that works. So, yeah, it's entertaining to say the least, but had a lot of fun. We had several triples today with the guys in the boat. We had two other guys in the boat, and it was a lot of fun. There's a ton of fish out here, and there's so many ways to catch fish out here. You can cast crankbaits, you can use bobbers, you can bottom bounce, you can lead core, troll crankbaits. But there's so many ways to fish, and the DNR has done a great job up here in fish management. and you know, we'll talk about the other details with Kyle, but you know, for me, when you have a bunch of guys that have never been here before, you know, we'd normally gone to Lake of the Woods with these guys, and there are some issues with one of the resorts up there, so we switched to go out here as kind of a let's try something different instead. Yeah, try something different. So it's definitely different, you know, and we literally have gone all over the lake trying different spots, and we caught fish on every single spot. And graphs are super important. You've got to be able to read the graph, see if there's fish. If there's not fish, don't fish. If you don't see them on the graph, move on. Right. And it's the same in a lot of there's a lot of fisheries that you'll see the same scenario, South Dakota-wise. Oahe, where I won the event in 2010, you go up there and fish. If you pull up on a point, Main Lake Point, and you don't see any fish, move on. And, you know, you can cover a lot of spots that way that you know, I'm not going to waste time and be unproductive. Especially, you know, Don, you and I have talked about the graphs and, you know, the sonar systems. There's a lot of them out there, but you don't need to have a high-end sonar system to work in this body of water. You can mark fish, you'll see where they're at, and go fish them. The only thing you have to be careful of is there's a lot of trees and debris laying on the bottom. So sometimes it's a floating jig head, or you go with a shorter leader. Don't go with a long leader, because otherwise it ends up being a lesson in how many rigs can you tie in an afternoon. So one of our guys pulled up a 30-foot at top of a tree, pulled it, he actually got it in the boat, and we kind of used it for a joke. So it was like the trophy of the day.
Right.
But
There's even... isn't there not even in some areas, there's actually buildings that are still underwater that were flooded?
Yeah, in an area called Howard's Farm, they have white freight liners that are still parked, and they're in and underwater. There's the old big TV dishes that you'd get for satellite dish.
Yep.
I caught a 2-pound walleye underneath one of those. You can cast into the grain silos. Some of the storage barns, same thing. It's crazy. Basically, the people are told you just leave your stuff, and they did. There's one area called Patience Point. A number of years ago, I was trolling on it, and I thought, I'm looking at my graph. It was before we had down imaging, and I looked, and I'm like, oh, look at that. There's a bunch of fish right there. This is great. And I got 4 lead core rods out with crankbaits on them, and all of them at once got snagged. And about a year later, year and a half later, we came back and I had the down imaging. It was a manure spreader. I had fully hooked all 4 rods into the manure spreader and lost 3 of the 4.
Right. Now that's live and learn there.
You are correct. Well, tell you what, guys, we're going to come right back, and we're going to be talking with Kyle Blanchfield of Woodland Resort. He's going to give us a little history of Devil's Lake and all the cool stuff that's going on with this lake. You are not going to want to miss this. Stay tuned. More Valley Outdoors coming right up.
Hey everybody, this is Eric Olson with the Valley Outdoors, and we are up in Devil's Lake, North Dakota, my home away from home. I love this place. It's been nothing but amazing every time I fished it. We're joined by Kyle Blanchfield. He's the owner of Woodland Resort, and the guy's got history here, I will tell you right now. Good to have you on today, Kyle. It's what a fun time.
Oh, it's super great to have you back. A lot of good memories.
No, it's amazing. The fishery is just as productive as it has been in the past. But speaking of past, you know, we're looking at a fishery that's changed dramatically. So give us a little history, if you can, of where this, what happened to the lake and where it went.
Well, Devil's Lake is essentially a giant prairie pothole. And You know, the first settlers that came in the 1800s, the lake was pretty high. It was full of pike. I mean, they used to actually commercially fish pike here and ship them to Minneapolis or wherever the heck they shipped them to back in the day. Anyway, it was a very productive lake. And the lake went really, you know, dropped like a rock, dirty 30s, damn near dried up.
What would cause that?
Just massive drought. You know, Devil's Lake is like your savings account. You put more in, it goes up. Take a bunch out, it goes down.
It goes away.
Yeah. And so it's just a plus or minus game. It's real simple. It's evaporation precipitation is what mandates that whole thing. My grandpa used to farm the bottom of the bay that's now 40 or 50, or was 50 feet of water recently.
We talked about that. Wasn't it corn you had in there?
Corn, well, I think it was oats actually. Oh, the last crop. There were multiple years the middle was always wet every time it rained, but the outside edges, the lake was, Creel Bay was, you could walk across it literally.
In your resorts on Creel Bay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's water. There's no question. It's deep.
We're 50 feet deep now, 45 feet deep now. And the big lake always held water, but it was just basically a slough. It was great duck hunting fun. A lot of the spots that we fish now for structure spots, these different little rock piles, they were duck blinds in the day. That's how crazy it is. To give you an idea, since when you first started coming out, the lake was really coming up.
Back in 80.
It was just starting to come up in the 90s too. And, you know, it went up over 30 feet vertical. I mean, that's like the size of a light pole, and actually taller than the average light pole you find in town, or, you know, average flagpole, to give you a visual idea how big. And then it went from 56,000 acres of water to over 180,000 acres of water. So massive change. Most of that happened in around 20 years, in about a 20-year time frame. A lot of that, you were here through different parts of it. And, you know, it's interesting because when you first started coming, is really when people started to understand the fishery and understand how Devil's Lake was.
We were trolling reef runners with lead core in cattails.
Yeah.
And if you weren't nicking the cattails, you weren't getting them. It was the craziest thing up in Minnewaukan, which is another town that has now become flooded.
Yeah. I mean, the town essentially is most of it's gone.
Yeah, most of it's gone.
Yeah. So, yeah, they were trolling crankbaits over top. Prior to that, we call it West Bay. Prior to that, it was called the Minnewaukan Flats. It was a giant cattail marsh, phenomenal duck hunting. And that lake, as that flooded out, there was just this massive bed of weed, or massive area of weed beds, a huge area, massive square miles. And though it took a long time for those weed beds to finally just disappear. That was the ticket. You weren't right over top of them. Then, of course, there's the Golden Highway, which was a paved highway that is now, I don't know, 18 feet underwater. You run right down the center line. And it's paved with walleyes. So the FLW, when you first started coming out as a tournament angler, is really the first time we got to shine in the national public eye.
Oh, and it was amazing.
I mean, I remember one of the years, because you were here multiple years, but one of the years, our weight beat Lake Erie, which nobody in the planet would think that was possible.
Nope. No, and the fun part about it is, too, the diversity in how you fish. So, I mean, this week we've been up here, bottom monsters, and you run a floating jig head. You could run a spinner on, you know, and a lightweight spinner. And the things that you can cast crankbaits, you can bobber fish, you can do whatever you want, and you're going to catch fish.
Yeah.
And it's been that way forever. And, the fun part is the change still happens because you've lost a lot of the trees. It used to be the big thing for us were trees.
Yeah.
And the trees with ice in, ice out have kind of gone, and the branches and the things that were hold the fish have changed. But the fishery hasn't changed as far as populations.
Not at all. In fact, I think it's gotten better. We have a very scientific, logistic fishery management system in Devil's Lake. It gets twice a year. It gets the population surveying deal. It gets. I mean, I can't remember all the different things, but it does. They do two different major studies of the lake every year. They do creel surveys, I think, every 2 or 3 years. So I mean, Devil's Lake is really well managed, really well watched and. And North Dakota Game and Fish Department's done an amazing job of it. In the beginning, it was all put and take. I mean, every walleye that was here was somebody, you know, our fisheries dropped them off here. Yep. It came from Riverdale, probably. And then as when you first started coming in, the lake started shooting up, we started flooding out all these places and creating all this structure and sandbars and, you know, this was just a mud bottom lake before, prior to that. And then, and also we've done millions, if not billions of rock in the lake for riprap. Oh. That's all structure, right? So, the lake is, you know, physically changed, fundamentally changed structurally wise, and has become a very good natural reproduction lake. So they still plant some fish in the lake, but they don't do much anymore. A lot of that's because our water quality just improved enough, and we now have structure for walleyes.
Oh, the water quality has changed. I mean, when we first got here, the alkalinity was...
Yeah, awful. Black boats were terrible. You don't want to own a black boat. You still probably don't.
Anything other than bright white, it was horrible. I mean, because, we get done at the end of the day, and what would you smell the whole resort?
Yeah.
Vinegar and water. It was spraying everywhere.
Yeah.
The only way you could get that out of it. And now it's dramatically changed.
Right.
It's crazy how different that is.
Yeah.
So the main forage base has been freshwater shrimp. Is it still the same? I mean, it's obviously changed in some perch and everything else, but is it still that same?
Yeah, you know, the basic food chain is freshwater shrimp. Now, our game fish, like walleyes, northern pike. Northern pike will swim around like a whale and just with a mouth open and fill their stomach full of them. The walleyes really don't. They do some. But, you know, we have a great fathead minnow population. We have a few suckers in the lake, unfortunately, but they're not a problem, but they're great forage base. We have sticklebacks, which are natural, which, you know, everybody thinks you can't catch fish on them. You can open up a walleye stomach. They're full of them a lot of times. So, and then, of course, the end of the year, other species of fish. And we have a phenomenal bat base of white bass, which...
I did not know that.
Yeah, which can be a menace sometimes when you're trying to catch, you know, when you're casting and cranking and you're getting, and especially early springtime when we're trying to cast and crank shallow water for walleyes,
all
of a sudden you're getting you'll just get destroyed by white bass. People love catching them. Obviously, you know, you're a walleye fisherman. Most people are a walleye fisherman. But they're fun to catch, but there's a lot of little babies. That's why I like a chrome blue rattle trap. It's old school. Yep. But that was a really successful lure for a long time because it mimicked a small white bass or anything that's a mimic.
Has the same look to it.
Small, white, shat, flashy. Yeah. And that's a great forage base for our fish.
So techniques that you guys use up here are, I mean, I know I've been coming up here forever.
Yeah.
You know, for big fish, lots changed on the big fish side of it. Obviously, forward-facing sonar, but you don't have to have that type of technology to come up here and catch fish.
No,
you can jig fish. You can do deeper jigging wraps. Those are fun off the power lines. I know those, the big pillars and the boulders and everything there. There's some big stuff there, but really the diversity is and the presentations are amazing. I mean, what do you guys doing?
Every day is different, I can sit in the bait shop and I can ask 10 anglers how they got into them. And they'll get 10 different answers. That's why we're such a great tournament lake.
Yep.
Is it drives, like a lot of places you can go to at a certain time, a certain year, it's a certain technique and it's a certain depth. And everybody's doing the same thing within reason. Drives tournament anglers crazy. I know you've had to get tortured. You've been tortured by it here yourself. All of a sudden, you know, you got a great bite at 25 feet trolling cranks. And the guy that wins it was in four feet in weed beds and it's hot water and using slip bobbers. And you're like, you got to be kidding me. You know, so, but they found a big pot of fish in those spots and that's how they just happened to do it. So it is a loose cannon from that perspective. But I tell you, I think it was part of the charm. I can take Ray Charles and Helen Keller and a 12-foot flat bottom and push them off the water. And a lot of times they're going to catch fish.
Yep.
The kids off the dock here at evening will make the $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 boat owners blush because the kids on the dock have this amazing stringer of walleyes, and that poor devil got 2 16-inchers. You know.
Well, it's fun. it's exactly right, and the fun part too is that part of the structure, the change is kind of on. You know, we always remember come out of the resort, you make the right corner. There was a tree that used to stick up all the time. You remember? So it's kind of like the flashbacks coming back to me about that. Yeah. You know, and you always make the turn in the tree. They come back to the resort at the end of the day. I mean, long days on the water. But the part that's enjoyable for me is it's still, as you said, it's as good, if not better, than it has been in the past. The population of fish, you've got the small fish are everywhere. And I'll be honest with you, I'll eat 17, 18 inches all day long. Yeah. I am totally good with that.
What one of the significant changes that happened since when you first started coming up, Eric, is we have now expanded a lot more fishing into the upper basin lakes. I think when you first started coming out, I don't think we were in Pelican much, a little bit. Now, I shouldn't say Pelican was pretty good, but like Irving, Dry Lake, those were unknowns until maybe, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 years ago.
You couldn't get to some of them.
You couldn't get to them. It's still really tough. It's combat fishing. A big glass boat has a hard time getting in there because it's just too big. But so that's one of the weird dynamics. Like you watch the fishing guides, you know, they're all running 18-foot or 20-foot Alaskans.
Yep.
And in combat mode. You know,
they're launching off the roads. Well, back when Pelican was there, we were trying to figure out how to get into Pelican. You remember that? You know, a friend of mine and I were like, okay, we rented a boat from you, and we're launching out the road to see, is it worth it for us to go do it?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, 4 or 5 years later, Pelican floods, it opens up, the railroad tracks are gone, and now you can get in.
Yeah.
But what a difference that the fishery makes.
Oh, and, big time.
You know, from my standpoint, somebody says, oh, you're going to go to North Dakota. And, okay, so it's a lot of dirt, there's a lot of wind, there's a lot of, and when we got up here with a group of guys, from when I started coming to Woodland, was a night and day difference.
Right.
Except for the personality of the people, which is always, that's the best part about it. Because, you know, seeing you guys, it's like old home week. But what you've changed now between the facilities you have, the condos, you've got cabins, you've got motel units, so it really can appeal to anybody that really comes here. And then I talked to your better half this morning, and apparently the boss, you're breaking ground on some crazy stuff.
Yeah, we just started today, if you notice the equipment out there.
I heard the dunk, 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 dunk. The other D8 cats are digging. What's going on?
So we are adding a conference center. And that's one kind of like a missing link we had is we couldn't do big group events inside. And, you know, we're open year round. We do big ice fishing.
We'll touch on ice fishing shortly.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of, you know, we're a fishing lodge primarily, but, you know, there's a lot of family reunions here on weekends in the summertime. We do, you know, we need to diversify a little bit to get into weddings and things like that. Just, you know, last winter was a great example. You know, we were really lucky. We had good ice, considering compared to a lot of people. But it was a tough year because we were really limited. It was dangerous, and we had to take our fish houses off for, you know, 12 days in a heat of battle in February. Killed us. So we need to have a few more tools in our toolbox other than just what we do.
Yeah.
So this just gives us another opportunity to do that. I got two boys come in the business. We need to diversify.
That was cool. I heard that this morning. That was awesome.
Yeah. So excited about that. But no, it's just going to be a nice feature for doing event stuff on site, you know, where we can do everything else.
So it appeals to a lot of different people too. So
yeah, for sure.
So let's jump into ice.
Yeah.
We've got a little bit of time left. You got a couple, 3 minutes left. So ice fishing. Crazy. Everybody, let's go ice fishing. You guys have the guides. You've got the houses. You've got, I mean, this is the full enchilada.
Right. Yeah. You know, we've really worked hard over the last 30. This is our 35th season. Actually, this is going to be our 36th winter, believe it or not. And so we've really worked hard to have multiple options for our guests. Multiple. I don't like the one size fits nobody. It just doesn't work. Okay?
So I agree.
So, yeah. So we do the fish. We do the traditional fish house packages where you stay with us and you go in our fish houses and, you know, we do a couple things different though. So Devil's Lake, our walleye bites right away in the morning. And then again later in the day. And then midday is more of a perch bite. So you can't do it just one house.
No.
So we dedicate two houses to all of our groups. Okay. If you really, really want to catch fish, you got to be mobile and portable. And that's Perch Patrol. We team up with them. We just do the lodging and the food side, and they do all the fishing part of it.
Yep.
Great experience, great package, more aggressive.
Zippy's running that right now, isn't he?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
Yeah. They fish out of portable heated shelters versus a nice, you know, hard-sided fish house like we do. So we do, depending. And you can mix them up if you want to do a combination of both or... and then we also host us a lot of do-it-yourself fishermen. Bring your own gear to stay with us.
Yep.
You know, we're the only place on the lake that has, you know, indoor heated fish cleaning station with a bar and restaurant with multiple forms of lodging. We rent Vexlars. We rent ice augers. We rent, you know, of course, the fish house. I mean, we
bigger,
do, you know, I can't imagine what else we can do. We do almost everything.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, we have cleaners on site if you don't want to clean your own fish. We, you know, the restaurant can clean, eat your, or cook your fish for you now, which is cool.
That's awesome.
Kind of a new thing for North Dakota. Everybody else has been doing it forever, but that's kind of a new thing for North Dakota, which is cool. So, but no, it's fun. It's a big season for us, and, you know, we take it real serious. We have 52 fish houses. We have, you know, the Perch Patrol guys. I mean, we invest a lot of money in equipment, and we have really nice houses. A lot of, you know, every year, you can never have enough plow equipment. I just keep buying more plow equipment. My wife's killing me, wants to kill me. Like, what do you need another snow plow for? Because you can have 10 of them, and 8 of them are going to break down
the
wrong
time. Dakota most of the time. That's the key.
Well, the best part about last year was, you know, I like to see rust on the cutting edges because there was no snow, and we never use them, which is beautiful. They look great in the shed, too, by the way. I like, but when you need them, you need them, and we have invested a ton of money in those so we can keep our people moving.
Well, Kyle, you know, it's great to be back with you guys.
Good to have you.
And I as always, enjoy the time.
Yeah.
And you can get a hold of you guys. We'll have you on our website so you can check it out. Woodland great. Resort up in Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
Yep.
And hopefully we can get some guys turned your way. But
love
it's been good. We appreciate you guys taking the time and hosting an amazing week. So,
well, good to have you back. We had a lot of good years, a lot of good memories. Hopefully we, God willing, there's a few more.
And the creek don't rise. In this case, hope the lake don't rise.
Exactly.
I appreciate it, Kyle. Hey, guys, this is Eric. We appreciate you guys listening. And this is the Valley Outdoors. And we are out. Hope you guys have a fantastic weekend and enjoy. Thanks much. Have a great one. Bye-bye.